You love art, painting, museums. You would love for your job to revolve around that, but you feel you haven't quite identified what profession you could have in this field. Well, have you thought about becoming a conservator restorer? Susan Moore tells us her professional story here at Job Tales. Enjoy the episode. Susan, thank you for being here with me. And I would like to ask you briefly to describe what your profession is. And then how did you get to do that profession?
I'm a member of the British Association of Painting Conservator Restorers. And so basically I'm a painting conservator. So I fix, I put back together paintings that are either damaged, dirty, or need to be preserved for posterity.
So I guess this is something that you grew into, or did you grow into this profession, or was it something that you really wanted to do since the very beginning?
It was something that I found by mistake. I actually have a degree in science. I am a qualified botanist. And when I was in my final year of studying botany, I was looking for a career. And there wasn't much that I really wanted to do. And one day I visited the art galleries in Glasgow and saw the conservation department and thought, oh, this is perfect because I can actually do something that's creative as well as using my scientific knowledge. And so that's what I did. I applied for a postgraduate diploma at the Courtauld Institute of Art in London, got a place and studied for 3 years. And then after that, I was a conservator restorer, and that's what I've been all my life.
Wow, fantastic. So that was almost by chance that you found it. And so botany and then restoring, can you tell me what's the link between the two?
I would say that the link between the two is that you need to understand the science of what's happening when a painting is aging. And the botany, the science that it taught me about using the different machines that can be used for conservation, as well as the actual process of degradation and aging.
Is there a specific discipline that will help you become a restorer?
Not really, because when I started my course at the Courtauld, there were people from many different backgrounds. There were two scientists. There were other people who had graduated in fine art. And sometimes the people who go on to become conservator restorers have a background in actual physical art, you know, come from art school. Some people are language scholars. So there's many different ways into the profession. And I think having an ability or a desire to use your hands is very good. And for having a mind that likes to solve problems is also very, very good.
So can you tell me what your day looks like from the moment you start? You go to an office, I guess, or you tell me, because I really have no idea. What does your day look like? And what do you do during the day on a typical day?
One of the things that I love about my career is that every day is different. I do quite a lot of on-site work, which means that I'll go to the location where the painting is hanging and work on it there, because it's often much easier to move me and my equipment than to move the painting, because the painting is much, much more delicate than I am. I work for people like auction houses. I would do condition assessment of paintings before they go into auctions to show a prospective purchaser that they're buying something that is in good condition, or maybe it needs to have some work done to it to make it stronger, or there's a dirt layer on it that maybe the painting would look better if it was removed from it. So maybe they're not seeing the best version of the painting that is actually hanging in the auction house. Sometimes I work for collectors who might have a lot of paintings in one location, and you're actually doing what we call collection care. So you're bringing all the paintings up to the same standard that would involve doing things like cleaning the back of the painting to make sure that there's no dirt or pollution on the back of the canvas, and then protecting the back of the painting with a layer of specialist fabric that is a Gore-Tex based fabric that will breathe, but will also protect the back of the painting from moisture, because painting will survive best in a very stable environment. If you look at the museum environment, they're trying to create a humidity that is very even, that is very, it doesn't fluctuate a lot, because fluctuations can lead to damage and delamination of the paint from the actual support that it's on.
Do you need to study in depth about all the materials, the elements that make the painting or that age the painting? Is it different from painting to painting, from an age to another? How do you go about it? Do you do a briefing with the owner of the painting or with the museum? And what is the end result expected? Do you have like KPIs, like key performance indicators to see, oh yeah, that's to say this is a well-preserved and restored painting?
Yes, indeed. I would say that the most important thing, as with many, many professions, is communication. And good communication and constant communication with a client just makes a job so much, much more easy to fulfill a client's expectations of a painting and to provide him with the optimum result possible. And you're absolutely right that every era of painting, they're using different materials. And even from different schools of painting to another, you're using different supports, you're using different materials, you're using different pigments. And the better you understand what might happen to that as they age, the better you can look at a painting and provide a satisfactory conservation. So you're actually preserving the condition of the painting as it is just now. So maybe you have you can see there's a pigment there that is light sensitive. So you want to recommend to the client that they don't hang it in a very bright light. Or maybe there's a canvas that has been not very well treated in the past. And so you can provide them with information that means that the canvas won't deteriorate any further. Because what you must take into account is that a lot of the things that I'm dealing with are really quite old. I think the oldest painting that I've worked on comes from the 14th century. So I'm not the first person to have treated that painting, to have looked at that painting. So a lot of the time you're looking through other restorers' layers, and sometimes often you have to take those off to get down to what the actual artist has created, to understand how best to treat the painting.
That's very hard to see how it can be done. But what kind of subjects do you study when you're learning to do this?
Well, obviously you need to know a fair amount about art history, and you have to be able to recognize that, you know, what different schools of art might do as a certain approach to things. You look at the way that paintings are constructed in different countries, at different times, in different schools, the different sort of supports that they would use. For instance, in the 16th, 17th century, the northern countries like Netherlands and to a certain extent England were using panel supports for the painting. So you're using something that's probably going to be a Baltic oak. And there's a huge industry at the time of importing planks of oak from the Baltic Sea. And you can age this, and you can tell from the tree ring dating, from the widths of the annular rings, exactly when the tree was felled. And there's a terribly, terribly clever gentleman that works out of the University of Sheffield that can actually recognize which forest the trees comes from, because he's done so much analysis of tree ring dating. It's just incredible. But also, when you go further south, then you places like Italy, you have canvas paint coming into effect as a painting support over things like which would panels, which would typically be made of poplar wood. Because the artists in the south, they're actually looking for a much more immediate effect on the using a rough canvas that gives you a much more three-dimensional composition, whereas a very smooth oak panel, it's a much more sort of tempered, a much more sort of like considered approach to painting. So you're thinking about things like Vermeer maybe as an artist, as opposed to Titian. They're very, very different in their approach, and that's dictated to by the way the materials that they have and the way that they're using them.
Do people specialize in a certain era or artist or like a geographical region when you become a restorer?
If you're very lucky, you do. Yes. In some, if you work for some of the museums that have very strong collections of a certain artist, then of course you can study that artist's work all through his career, how he changes his use of paint throughout his career, how he maybe uses different pigments as his oeuvre progresses. Whereas I've always been freelance, so I'm much more eclectic in my approach. Mm-hmm. So I've treated paintings from the 14th century right up to things that were painted maybe last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So that makes me think, so you are restoring very young paintings as well. Mm. Why is that?
Well, quite often paintings will come into the auction houses that haven't been stored particularly well, or they may get damaged in transit. And that, in general, that's the kind of damages that I'm addressing with very modern paintings. You get maybe dirt. Somebody has handled a painting with dirty hands, so you get fingerprints down the side of it. So you have to very carefully remove the fingerprints without removing any paint, because it's young paint. It might be quite sensitive. And it might also, if in the process of removing it, like you probably will have noticed when you're doing household tasks, you can alter the surface if you use too aggressive a material to clean it. So you have to know that the surface will respond in a certain way to a certain material.
Can you tell me some materials that you use? Like, I guess it's chemical materials, or is it water? Because I have no idea. Is it special brushes? What do you use to restore a painting?
Oh, I use all sorts of specialist materials. I suppose one of the important things to tell people about is that I won't restore a painting using the same materials as the artist did, because everything that I do has to be easily reversible without affecting the original. And that's one of the sort of central tenets of conservation restoration, that you want to be able to remove anything that you do without damage to the original. So I'm using modern paints bound up in synthetic resins, whereas traditionally an artist would use a natural resin as a varnish. I will use a synthetic resin that's soluble in something that is not going to affect the paint. With contemporary paintings, it can be slightly more problematic, because as I've said, the paint is new and it's very delicate. So you may then want to put what we would call a barrier layer between what you're doing and what the artist did. So again, you can use that like a release layer from the surface of the original.
Very exciting. And do you think you need to be an artist yourself in order to restore, or is there an important part of your job, or are there other important elements that, let's say, hard skills that you must have?
It's funny. I think people do assume that you should be an artist to be able to restore a painting. But I would actually argue that it's probably good not to be an artist, because if you are an artist yourself, you have your own sort of like technique, you have your own style, whereas what you want to do if you're a restorer is you want to imitate the style of the artist whose painting you're working on. So you have to be very pragmatic. You can't use your own interpretation. You have to be looking at what the artist himself has done and how he's built up the paint layers, what sort of brushes he's used, how the brush strokes lie, to make it integrate into the rest of the composition and do so gently without imposing anything on the composition that wouldn't originally have been there.
Right. And are there soft skills that you would recommend for this job?
Yes, I think so. I think you need to like sitting for long periods of time, okay. Very patiently, patient. Yeah, looking very closely at something and looking at the same thing. Also, you need to be fairly fit, because it's not good for your back being a restorer, because you're sitting at an easel most of the time. Wow. And it's something that a lot of restorers have problem with, their shoulder, because they're sitting and it's not a very good position. So we're all very, very keen on our yoga and our Pilates and maybe a little bit of Alexander technique.
What is Alexander technique?
When you're pulling your body up straight, you're always thinking of putting your spine into alignment rather than leaning forward or making your neck into a hump.
Yep, because I think you were telling me before the interview that the paintings can be very big and heavy. So you need to adjust your position to the painting and not the other way around. Is it hard for, like, as you age, does it become harder to be a restorer, or is it unlimited?
I think you just have to pick your jobs very carefully. Maybe you don't want to be working in a very cold church up a scaffolding as you get older, which I have done in the past. But the idea of doing it now is not so attractive. And maybe you're looking to do easier paintings that are smaller, that you can sit at an easel and work on. But I know quite a lot of people that are still working into their 70s. And of course, one of the advantages of becoming older is that your knowledge increases, your knowledge of an artist's technique, how you can address a certain problem will just become much clearer as you've done it again and again and again.
And I guess also you can then pick also the jobs, and whereas when you're young, you just take also whatever comes. Because also I think it's a very niche job, so there are not so many jobs out there that you can take, I imagine. I mean, there's lots of arts out there, but also I imagine it's not so easy to find jobs, which brings me to the next question. How did you find your first job?
My first job, I worked for another restorer in his private practice. Mm. My husband and I got married just after I'd done my college course. And so I was looking for a job, and then I found one with another Scottish gentleman who was working for the Imperial War Museum in London, and he was looking for an assistant. So he was still, even though I was qualified, I was still learning a lot from him. And then very shortly after that, we decided to go on honeymoon for 3 months. So I lost that job. But for the first 10 years of my life, I was working as an assistant to somebody. So refining my skills and learning more about processes and from people that I was working with, because it's very much, there's a lot of craft involved. And it's not the kind of thing that you can read from in a book and actually learn. You have to be taught by somebody who knows how to do it, so they can tell you, no, do it a little bit more this way or that way, so that you can perfect the techniques. Mm-hmm. And it was only after I'd been working for 7 years after graduation that I applied to become a fellow. And it was only after 7 years of actually working in the field that I felt that I might have enough confidence to do it.
Do you think it is you can be a self-made restorer, or is school, you know, the college, important to give you the basis?
I think it's a tricky thing to become self-made. I know that in the past there were a lot of restorers who were taught by the older generation how to do things, and all the craft skills came down through them. But the actual academic learning and, you know, how solvents behave, the actual science of things, the techniques of the artists to a certain extent you need to read up on, and all the articles that are written by people that are now doing scientific investigation into how paintings behave as they age is something that is not so easy to learn if you're doing an apprenticeship. And certainly throughout my career, there's been a move away from apprenticeship and towards a more formalized type of learning of the profession.
And tell me, do you have a fun anecdote about your life as a restorer?
A good one is that one brother inherited a painting who was a portrait of one of his ancestors, and he brought the painting to us, and I said, this gentleman was a printer of a newspaper in Bristol. And when we received the painting, it was just a very nice 18th century portrait, and we started to clean it. And we discovered that in the hand of the gentleman, there was a rolled up newspaper, but it had completely been painted out. Mm. And we can only suppose that the newspaper had been painted out because there's an 18th century portrait, and in the 18th century it wasn't very gentlemanly to earn your living. You had to inherit to be a proper gentleman. So maybe right. The family was trying to make themselves look grander than they were. And then a few years after that, the sister of this gentleman brought in the companion portrait for the wife of this gentleman, and she'd had her hair repainted, so she had lots of curls coming over her forehead that had been added at some point after by a restorer, and we took them off.
Oh, yeah?
And we'd removed the paint from the newspaper, and returned her to a slightly different looking, much higher forehead with her hair pulled back rather than having a row of curls across it.
Fun story. And so for someone who is, you know, thinking about art, doesn't know exactly what to do, and how would you start if you were in your early 20s or late teens?
I think it's the kind of job you could probably start at any time in your life if you wanted to. But what I've had throughout my career is I've had young students coming in from university courses to see what happens in the studio. So I've been doing studio tours for people for a long time. There's a lot of people who think that it sounds very, very interesting to come and very creative to be a conservator. But there's quite a lot of hard, intensive work involved. Mm. And I think it's very important that people understand that, and the amount of craft that's involved as well, that you have to dedicate yourself to before you can actually sit down and help to repaint a Cézanne or something like that.
And lastly, are there which schools would you recommend to study this craft?
Well, I've had a lot of pupils from the Courtauld Institute, which is where I studied, and I think the course that they do there is extremely good. I've had lots of French students; they're really amazing. I had a student who was her family were traditionally champagne barrel makers from the Champagne region, and so they have a really, really good woodworking skills. And she decided that she wanted to be a painting conservator. And honestly, her manual dexterity was just incredible. And the only thing I can think is that she'd learnt it from watching all her family working wood since she was tiny. Mm-hmm. And I think it really, really helps with that. So, yes, obviously a good school is a good thing, but to have the interest in craft, first of all, is very important.
Thank you very much. It's been mostly interesting for me because I'm not from that field at all. And I hope that it has inspired some young people to maybe try this career. I personally knew that there was something like that, but I didn't know anybody who was a restorer. So thank you very much. I feel very privileged. And I wish you all the best for the rest of your career, very long career.
Thank you very much. There's lots and lots of Italians that I know that are restorers as well, because you've got so much art in your country.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they do wonderful, wonderful work on it.
Preserve art for prosperity. What a noble mission in life, really. And how exciting is it to develop your skills in restoration, mixing creativity and scientific knowledge? If you have questions about this job, write me at jobtalespodcast@gmail.com. Bye-bye.